This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I just love that song, Fight the Good Fight, It's Just the Dark Before the Morning. I just love that song. This is the Sue Freeze Show, and people say, you know, what is the Sue Freeze Show about? Is it about bugs? Is it about termites? And I say, no, it's not. It exists to empower you. Are you in need of passion, purpose, or connection? This show is about getting to know you. What are you passionate about? What is your purpose here on this earth? What were you created for? When do you feel connected to another person? What is it that has to happen in order for you to feel that connection? And who are you? Do you ever look in the mirror and just say, who am I? Who am I really? When you are vulnerable, authentic, transparent, and teachable, going through challenging experiences, we can all grow and learn from one another. This journey is a process where you will be able to receive and discover who you are. This is your life. Are you who you want to be? I'm constantly changing. I don't know about you, but you know what? It's a wonderful journey, and the process is just so exciting. I just sometimes get impatient, and I just want to get there. And what I realize now is it's the journey. It's getting there that should be the fun. Did you also know that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them? I know that to be true. Very, very true. Today I have, and I am really serious when I say this, I met this gentleman many, many, many years ago, and we'll go into that, but Dr. Patrick Quillen, I met in Hawaii in 1994, I believe, and I'm going to give you a little background on him so you can understand why I'm so excited to have him on the show today. He's a recognized expert in the area of nutrition and cancer. He has 27 years' experience as a clinical nutritionist, of which 10 years were spent as the vice president of nutrition for Cancer Treatment Centers of America, where he worked with thousands of cancer patients in a hospital. He has appeared on over 40 television and 220 radio shows nationwide, well, you can add to that now, and is a regular speaker for medical and trade conventions. His 15 books have sold over 1 million copies and include the bestsellers Healing Nutrients and Beating Cancer with Nutrition. And now these books are translated into Japanese, Korean, and Chinese. He's listed in the Who's Who in Science. Dr. Quillen, it's so good to have you here.
It is a pleasure to be with you, Sue, and thank you for sharing your listeners.
Yes, yes. You know, I got on the phone with you just before, and we always pray. I always pray with my guests before we go on the show because, you know, it is God's show. It's not my show, and I just want to do God's will on this show, and I just want to, you know, people say, well, what do you do the show for? And the reason I do the show is because I just feel God kind of led me here for a reason, and I feel it's to give hope when people might feel hopeless. And I think cancer can feel very hopeless. Can't it?
I think that many people feel hopeless and they feel like they have lost any power in their life. Their life is out of control. And my message for the next hour is that we can empower people with the concept that nutrition can improve outcome in cancer treatment. And here's the soundbite: a well-nourished cancer patient can better manage and beat the disease, and proper nutrition can lower your risk for getting cancer by up to 90%. So this is an hour of hopeful and helpful information that I hope will leave people with a sense of purpose and maybe even helping others. Maybe you, the listener, do not have cancer, but your mother, father, brother, sister, uncle, husband has it, and maybe you can be the one who is the instigator in bringing some rational therapy to their treatment.
And that's what we're called to do, is to be there for one another. And either we're going through it ourselves or we know somebody that's going through it, and we need to be of help and to be a servant to those in need. And so, you know, cancer, that word has been around forever and ever, as long as I've been around. But, you know, I haven't experienced cancer personally, but I have had cancer affect people in my life, as so many people listening can say the same thing. My father died of cancer. He had kidney cancer. They removed the kidney and said if he lived 7 years cancer-free that he would be scot-free, and he died on the seventh year of lung cancer, and he quit smoking the day I was born. So it's kind of a sad thing. My sister had a double mastectomy, so she's had cancer in her breasts. So it's been around me, but I still don't understand. Even though I've been there and I've seen what's happened to them, I still don't understand it. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't understand.
Well, let's just talk briefly about what is cancer and the impact it has on Americans and their lives. We can talk a little bit about statistics. But basically, what we have is the average adult body, Sue, is about 60 trillion cells. And those cells are dividing and multiplying, splitting, dividing, reproducing themselves on a daily basis at a rate of millions per day. And if you're young, it's in the rate of billions per day, so people who are growing. However, for an adult, these cells, they grow, divide, they are replaced, and it's that cell division process where one cell splits and becomes two cells, and that process has the possibility of creating an error or a mistake cell that could have abnormal DNA, and it has the potential of becoming a cancer cell. And so the good news, again, for our listeners is that most adults experience about six bouts of cancer in a lifetime. What the experts tell us is that in this process of cell division, everybody has mistake cells made. However, our host defenses or the body's lifeguards are constantly standing by looking for mistakes, and they can clean it up. They can kill the bad guys before they become a problem. So even though only one-third of Americans will end up in a cancer hospital, and only one-fourth will die of cancer, all of us are getting cancer throughout our lifetime. And if we maintain our God-given skills from our God-given diet that allows us to stay healthy, cancer becomes a non-issue in most people's lives.
I'm sorry, Dr. Quillen.
The cancer becomes a non-issue in our lives. Did you catch that last sentence?
Yes.
Okay. So where we're going with this is let's give some statistics on cancer and its impact in our lives. The war on cancer was launched in 1972 when Richard Nixon said, "We will find a cure for the one of the most common cancers within the next 5 years by the bicentennial," or 1976. And so the National Cancer Institute at that time was given between $2 and $15 billion a year. So we're well beyond $80 billion has been spent on research since then, and we now have no cures for any of the most common cancers. 1.4 million Americans will be newly diagnosed with cancer this year. There are about 8 million Americans being treated for cancer today. So it is a significant disease. It's the number one or two cause of death, depending on how you interpret the statistics. And essentially, it is a disease where if we work properly within the framework of God's incredible majesty of the human body, that is, we have mechanisms within us that can prevent and reverse cancer, and we have nutrients in a God-given diet that are powerful anti-cancer agents. And what we have done since about 1950 is we have taken those healthy foods and stripped them of their nutrient value, and we now live on soft drinks and snacks, sugar foods and ice cream and chips, and we're because of that, we're eating foods that are bad for us, and we don't get the nutrients that are good for us, a double negative. So my hope is that through my work, my Beating Cancer with Nutrition, which has sold 500,000 copies, translated into 5 languages, was a bestseller on Amazon.com in 1999, is that through this work, people can prevent cancer, or if you already have cancer, you can dramatically improve your quality and quantity of life while you're going through medical therapy.
So what you're saying is there is good news on this war on cancer.
Tremendously good news. And while we have not found a magic bullet cure for cancer in the sense of looking for a pill or a drug or an injection or a surgery, that would eliminate a major cancer. We have not found those. However, we do know after extensive, very good scientific research that there are powerful anti-cancer nutrients in things as simple as fish oil, fiber, blueberries. Let's talk about green leafy vegetables. Let's just stop, for instance. Fiber. One of the things that I try to impress upon people is the need for a healthy gut, regular bowel movements. Constipation is one of the symptoms that I found in many of the cancer patients that I worked with. So that when we get fiber in the diet, which is only found in wholesome plant food, for instance, if you strip white bread, has almost no fiber in it. Whole wheat bread has a lot of fiber. So in that fiber, in the gut, the bacteria breaks it down into a substance called butyrate or butyric acid. This is such a powerful anti-cancer agent that the National Cancer Institute is researching it, trying to find a drug substitute for butyrate when all you need is enough fiber in the diet to lower your risk for colon cancer by 70%. There are things we can do very simply. I mentioned blueberries. In dark berries, we're talking about blueberries, blackberries, boysenberries, dark cherries. Dark berries have a substance called ellagic acid. Again, the research on this is so powerful. What it's called an inducer of apoptosis. That's a fancy name for saying programmed cell death. One of the things that's wrong with cancer cells is they forget to die. They're almost immortal. And so normal cells grow, mature, and die. That's the way they should do it. This ellagic acid in dark berries induces programmed cell death in cancer cells. So it's the ultimate selective agent that just kills cancer cells and doesn't hurt any of your healthy cells. And there's many other substances we can talk about.
You know, in my mind, I eat pretty healthy. People think I eat very weird because I'll have like a sweet potato or a yam. I'll eat that for lunch, you know, and people say, what are you eating? You know, and I eat really healthy. And there were a couple of things that were taught to me early on. And one was when you go to the grocery store, you stay away from the middle aisles. You walk around the outside only because all the middle stuff is all the junk. Would you agree with that?
That's a very good point. Shop the perimeter of the grocery
store.
That's
right.
And there you will find fresh fruits and vegetables. Moving down to the end of the grocery store, you're going to find chicken, fish, and high-protein foods. You'll find some dairy products, which are okay.
Yeah.
Some interesting work done on dairy where they found that men who drank lots of commercial milk had a higher risk for prostate cancer. However, we do find that there are other dairy products such as yogurt, cottage cheese, Swiss cheese that has other nutrients that are very valuable against cancer.
So let me ask you a question.
Yes.
On the milk thing, if there's men out there that want to drink milk, but milk is not that great, what could they drink? Rice milk or is there another milk they could drink, if they want to have cereal?
I would start off with just getting organically raised milk. In other words, cows that are raised on green grass have a substance in them called conjugated linoleic acid, or CLA. In that substance is a very powerful anti-cancer agent. We could talk about what happens when we take God's wholesome food and we corrupt it or deteriorate its nutrient value based upon food processing. But, for instance, Native Americans, the people who lived in the central plains of America, the Indians, basically they lived off of buffalo. They followed their buffalo herd. They had buffalo milk and buffalo meat, and that was 90% of their diet, and they had no heart disease, no cancer. They looked like Olympic athletes, and the difference is when we take cows and lock their head in a vise and feed them corn, which has mold in it, and then we feed them antibiotics, growth hormones, and various veterinary drugs, and give them no exercise and wonder why the various meat and milk from that is not as healthy, it's because we're taking God's basic pattern of food and we're changing it. So human arrogance has become a big part of the cancer epidemic in this country.
Yes, I agree with that. And another thing you were saying was about the dark berries. And another rule of thumb for me is when I go to the grocery store is I always look for the darkest of the fruits, darkest of the vegetables. Like, you know, iceberg lettuce doesn't have as much nutrition in it as something darker.
Very
darker
good
lettuce.
Go for the color. That's why you mentioned sweet potatoes or yams are better than white potatoes. That's why purple potatoes are better than white potatoes. That's why red grapes are better than white grapes. And on it goes, because what's happening is in those pigments that we find in plant food are these substances that assist in photosynthesis, and they're very powerful antioxidants and growth regulators. So what we're finding, I was trained, you know, bachelor's, master's, doctorate degree in nutrition, a registered dietitian, a certified nutrition specialist with the American College of Nutrition, so have significant formal training, and the field of nutrition has evolved dramatically in the past 30 years. And what we're finding is what we used to call a simple antioxidant, such as beta-carotene, vitamin C, vitamin E, we now know that these things have functions in the human body that go well beyond antioxidant. Now they're actually cancer preventers, they're anti-inflammatory agents, they're growth regulators, they actually can down-regulate the growth of cancer. Things like vitamin D, let's just talk about that for a second. When I was in college, we were taught, don't take anything more than 400 international units of vitamin D. That's the recommended dietary allowance. Anything more than that should require a medical prescription. Now what we find is a human being working outside on a summer's day with, you know, basic summer clothing, which means short sleeve shirts and shorts, is you're going to generate about 10,000 international units of vitamin D in your body. And then the body said, thank you very much, that's enough, I'm done. It shuts down the production. So that more like 2,000 IU per day is a healthy intake, and 10,000 is still considered quite safe. So that many people are literally running around on a functional clinical deficiency of vitamin D, which is part of the cancer epidemic in this country. So the dermatologists say, get no sunshine. In fact, the difference between a medicine and a poison is dosage. The same thing with exercise, the same thing with sunshine, the same thing with water, with fiber. Too much fiber will give you diarrhea. Don't do it.
Right.
You get not enough, you're going to get sick. Same thing with vitamin D, sunshine. A tan is good, a burn is bad, especially if you have very fair skin. The people who have the highest incidence of melanoma, which is the most lethal form of skin cancer, are indoor office workers. The people who have the lowest incidence of melanoma are outdoor construction workers.
Wow. Say that again? Are you serious?
This is true. Now, let's think about the various types of skin cancer. Basal cell and squamous cell cancer are the more common types of cancer, which there's a million surgeries a year. Dermatologists remove these in an office in, you know, 15 minutes with laser surgery, and everybody goes home and there's no repercussions. Those are the simple skin cancers that come from too much sun on fair skin, but those are rarely lethal. The lethal form of skin cancer is melanoma. That's this dark, irregularly shaped moles that can become very invasive. And the highest incidence of melanoma is found in indoor office workers, and the lowest incidence of melanoma is found in outdoor construction workers.
So the next obvious question is, why?
Well, here's what's happening. Vitamin D from the sun is a powerful protector against cancer. However, what we find happens with melanoma is people with fair skin who go out and do the weekend warrior sunburn. So all winter long, they're refrigerator white, and then they go out on a July day with a friend who rented a boat, and they get this third-degree burn on their back. And then many years later, through poor diet and through suppressed immune system, that burn can become a melanoma. So what the oncologists who treat melanoma are quick to agree that the main cause of melanoma is a suppressed immune system. Now let's talk about what does that mean. In our body, I mentioned earlier that we have about 60 trillion cells in a human body. Of that, about 20 trillion cells are the immune system, and their job is to be the cops, the army, and the garbage department, and their job is to shoot the bad guys and take them out with the trash. That's the immune system. And if the immune system does its job, we don't get infections and we don't get cancer. So a healthy immune system is critical to the health of all of our listeners and everybody on the planet Earth. Now, what does that mean? We find that things like too much sugar in the diet lower the immune system, stress, not enough sleep, any nutrient deficiency. I mentioned vitamin D is a powerful regulator of the immune system. By some estimates, vitamin D affects up to 20% of the human genome. That means the DNA and how it upregulates and downregulates and creates the essential protectors of the body. So the immune system is critical, and protein, vitamins, minerals, quasi-vitamins like coenzyme Q, fatty acids like fish oil, yogurt, there's a whole assortment of nutritional factors that help build that immune system so that it can recognize and destroy these invaders as they pop up, such as melanoma.
You are listening to The Sue Free Show on the sister station, KKLA 99.5. If you'd like to call in, we are a live show, and if you'd like to call in, the phone number is 888-995-5552. If you have a quick question, I have a producer, Melissa, who will take your call. She'll screen your call, and if it's worth us getting it on the air, or if you just want to ask a question and we can answer it on the air, we'll be happy to do that. If you also, if you want to get out of the car and get into the house, you can also do that by streaming, and you can stream KKLA.com. And if you don't know what that means, because I know it took me a while to get this down, is you can go on to KKLA.com on your internet and push listen live, and you'll hear us live on your computer. So it's kind of nice how things have evolved. You also, at a later date, if you love this show or another show and you want to come on and hear it later, we podcast at SueFree, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and you can podcast this or any of the other shows. And there's always on the Helping Hand site, you can go on there and get little lists or whatnot. What I'm hearing from you, Mr. Dr. Patrick McQuillan, is that my question is this. Is that, do we have to take all these pills and vitamins and whatnot, or if we choose our foods wisely, is that enough? If we eat dark fruits and dark vegetables and eat the proper amount of protein, do we need to take pills too, vitamins and whatnot?
No. The quick, simple answer is our ancestors did not take pills. Benjamin Franklin lived into his 80s. He never took a vitamin supplement. Hippocrates, 2,400 years ago, the father of modern medicine, lived into his 80s. He never took any pills. We could go on to most of the what's called blue zones around the world. These are pockets of people who live well into their 80s, 90s, and 100s with regularity. They do not take supplements. So the quick answer is no, but the more extended answer is, in America, given the fact that we have it's difficult to find wholesome food. We find the levels of stress and toxic exposure are well beyond what Ben Franklin and Hippocrates had to experience. So my recommendation to people is eat the best diet you can find. Do not rely on pills, but then take the pills as supplement. So, for instance, when I drive my car, I do my best to avoid getting an accident, but I also have insurance.
I understand what you're saying. So I'm sure there's a list of somebody that doesn't have any symptoms or any issues with cancer right now. We want to guard against that. So, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that want to eat healthy and they want to do the right thing because they want to live long, healthy lives to not be a burden to those around them. So with those people that don't have cancer right now, or you say that we all have it to some degree, which is, I don't know, kind of upsetting a little bit, but What would you suggest to those people, and is it different for man versus woman?
Very good. Let's take some very simple sound bites that will lower your risk for cancer by 90%.
I like that.
Number one, don't smoke.
You've already
cut your risk for lung cancer by 75%. Number two, do not be obese. Maintain a healthy weight. And in doing so, you have cut your risk for colon cancer and many other cancers by about 70%. Number three, eat as many colorful fruits and vegetables as your colon will tolerate. And what we're finding more and more, there's now over 300 studies, Sue, from the best researchers who find that a diet rich in fruits and vegetables dramatically lowers your risk for cancer. My work in the cancer hospitals found that many of these people who had cancer, they lived on meat, potatoes, and gravy. And I'd say, how about any vegetables? Well, corn and green beans. And I'd say that doesn't count as a vegetable. Anyway, as many colorful fruits and vegetables. Number four, I would say Make sure that you're having regularity. Healthy bowel movements, at least on a daily basis, are a critical part of general health. Number five, I would talk about stress reduction. There's clear and unequivocal evidence that stress, that is the link between the mind and the body, play a role in our general health. And this, of course, is where you can fall back on Scripture and all the many beautiful aphorisms and passages that come to us, Psalm 23 or Peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives you peace. There's many wonderful passages from Scripture where people need to say, you need to be at peace. Studies have shown that people who go to church have a lower risk for cancer. This is unbelievable. I mean, this is scientifically proven. Marching on, I would talk about getting enough sunshine so that you get vitamin D. And you're saying, my doctor said stay out of the sun. There is a Dr. Michael Hollick, who has a Ph.D. in biochemistry and was one of the original researchers on vitamin D, and he's a medical doctor, board certified in dermatology, and he teaches or taught at Boston University Medical School, and he came out with a book called The UV Advantage, ultraviolet, that is. And what he said is there are so many benefits to sunlight that if you take it in moderation, the benefits far exceed the disadvantages or possible hazards. And so obviously, if you have very white skin and red hair and blue eyes, you need to be very cautious about sunshine. But for most people, a light tan is far better than completely avoiding the sun because of the vitamin D that you're producing. Marching on, there are fermented foods such as yogurt, sauerkraut, vinegar, tempeh, which is fermented soy, that are extremely helpful for the gut and the body. If people said, give me some foods you think I should eat on a regular basis that I probably don't eat right now, seaweed. There is so much evidence to say that in seaweed we find, first of all, it's a wonderful ratio of potassium to sodium, very high in potassium. It's half protein, 50% protein dry weight.
Dr. Quillen, I can't believe how fast our time is flying. We're going to be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS, 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their two-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
Well, we're back again with Dr. Quillen, who's a nutritionist, and he is telling us how to fight cancer, how to stay away from cancer. And he was on number seven, I think. I've been keeping notes, Dr. Quillen, on what I can do and what those listening can do. So we want to continue on. You said seaweed is where we left off.
Yes, I was commenting. People ask me, tell me a food that I probably do not eat, that I probably should eat, that would help me prevent cancer. Seaweed. In seaweed is the richest collection of trace minerals. What we find is that there are many minerals that should be in our body that are not because of the way we have agriculture. So our ancestors, up until about 1950, would farm using, I guess you would call it organic or biodynamic techniques. That is, they would use compost and manure and everything that came out of their fireplace chimney. The wood, all of the ashes would go on the field. So all of this was rich in minerals, and they put it back into the soil. Since 1950, what we have done is we only use NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, to fertilize the soil, which means we're every time we harvest Every year, we're taking more of these trace minerals out, and we're not adding them back. So I'm talking about magnesium, calcium, chromium, selenium, vanadium. There are a whole host of minerals that are recognized as essential, and some that are on the border of being essential, such as lithium, cesium, and others. And
I have heard of all of these. But, you know, I was told when you look at an ingredients thing, you know, anything that's really big words, you want to stay away from. You want to stay with simple. And I'm thinking, these are all big words, and they all are familiar to me. But I'm overwhelmed even listening to all this right now. It's like so much.
Well, what has happened, Sue, is that the various pockets of people around the world who lived a long life, almost all of them, when they research their soil, they find that it's rich in all of these minerals. And so here's the deal. The human body cannot create something out of nothing. It cannot squeeze blood out of a turnip. And there are these minerals are essential in the human body. They're essential in the diet. We're not adding them back to the soil. You got to get them from somewhere. And that's why I recommend things like seaweed that are a good source of these trace minerals. Better yet, if we went back to the original methods of farming where we would have these minerals are spread over the soil, and then we get it out of all of our diet, plant food. Long words. You're right, Sue. If you can't read the label, maybe you should put the food back on the shelf.
Right.
However, the labels or the words that I'm mentioning are all
good
minerals.
These are all good.
They're on the periodic table of elements.
Right.
They're part of life, and they're essential in the human body.
Right. Somebody just introduced me to seaweed, and I actually have a container of seaweed in my office. And somebody saw me eating a piece of seaweed the other day and said, "What are you eating?" And I'm like, "Well, I was told it was good for me." So I just started eating it. And it actually is very, very tasty.
Let me talk about what is in it. Nori, wakame, and dulce are my favorites. So let me repeat those. N-O-R-I, nori, wakame, W-A-K-A-M-E. Or dulce, D-U-L-S-E. Now, seaweed or sea vegetables are just like land vegetables. There's hundreds of different types, and what they contain is, one of the substances in them is called fucoidin, F-U-C-O-I-D-A-N. Fucoidin is another one of these substances that's so powerful regulating the immune system, It actually causes cancer to commit suicide or apoptosis.
That sounds good.
And this is something that the drug companies are frantically trying to come up with an analog so that they can patent it and sell it as a prescription, when all you got to do is chew on a few leaves of seaweed a day. And one that I like the best is nori, but get what you like.
Right. I think that's what I have is nori. And, you know, I was thinking when you were talking, and I was thinking, gosh, you know, this knowledge is so there and so available, but yet it's not. And it's because there's a lot of chemical companies out there that don't want. I used to have a tape that talked about the doctors that go golfing, no offense, doctors, but that there are people out there that really don't want us to be well. And it's a shame. But they don't understand nutrition. They don't understand that we can fight this fight by eating right and adding to it by the deficits that we have with the lifestyles that we have now.
Well,
you ended with yogurt and seaweed, and I had number 7, and I was writing a list because I wanted to put that on our helping hands, if that's okay with you.
That's great. I'd love it, yes.
Because we're here to help, you know. So if we can get this information out, and I know you have books, and we're going to actually have all that information on the website too, so people can go there and find out how to get your books and get in touch with you and all those good things.
Well, may I mention, I think you brought up a subject. I know that we have hundreds or thousands of listeners, and some of them have cancer, and most of them know somebody with cancer, and they're saying,
that's
well,
correct.
If this stuff is true, then why doesn't my doctor recommend
right,
it?
Right, exactly.
Let's approach that subject.
Okay, let's do.
There are 10,000 board-certified oncologists in America. Almost all of them, I'm venturing to guess 99% of them, are laboring under the illusion that nutrition is at best useless in cancer, and at worst, it's counterproductive. Their concern is that if you take antioxidant nutrients, such as supplements of vitamin C or E, while you're going through chemo or radiation, that it may neutralize the cancer-killing benefits of the medical therapy.
Mm.
And in fact, there's no evidence to support that, and it's the exact opposite. What we find is these antioxidant nutrients protect healthy cells, but they do not protect the cancer cells. And so essentially, it's like giving the healthy cells a bulletproof vest And then the doctor goes in with his chemo and radiation, which is like machine guns. And what you're going to do is kill the bad guys because they don't have bulletproof vests on, but the antioxidants. So there is, unfortunately, in this country, healthcare slides into a strange area of, is it more for profit or is it more for helping the people? The drug industry is a $280 billion a year industry. For instance, do they ever talk about gluten sensitivity? No. How many people does it affect? Probably a third of the public. Mm-hmm. But there's no drug that can help people who are sensitive to wheat, so they don't talk about it. It's not even discussed much in medical schools. So there's many things that nutrients can do that drugs cannot do. And again, I have many friends who are medical doctors. I am all in favor of using medicine appropriately.
Me too.
However, every cancer patient needs an aggressive nutrition component to their cancer therapy. So I would recommend you work with your doctor and find a doctor who is willing to embrace nutrition, that is a good diet and an appropriate use of supplements while you're going through your medical treatment. And the studies show that you can improve lifespan by up to 12-fold, that's 1,200%.
Wow.
And that there are other studies showing that you can reduce the risk of recurrence. So one of the problems is you had cancer. You got treated for it. What are the odds of getting it back? Sometimes quite high, depending on your cancer. With using good nutrition, you can cut your incidence of recurrence by up to 75%. So nutrition is not a cure for cancer. Let me emphasize that. Nutrition is not a substitute for medical therapy. Again, asterisk, bold, underline. However, nutrition is an essential component of all comprehensive cancer treatment. It should be used right along with everything else your doctor is using in order to maximize your odds of beating this cancer. And if you want to look at, well, just exactly how well does it do, go to my, Amazon.com, the world's largest bookstore, carries my book, Beating Cancer with Nutrition. And they have reviews there, and these are unsolicited. These are people who read the book, and they liked it or they didn't, and there's nothing I can say about it. Most of them liked it, and many of them will put up some rather impressive anecdotes or testimonials about how they use the information in my book, Beating Cancer with Nutrition, to dramatically improve their outcome. The doctor may have said, get your affairs in order, and now they're in complete remission. Or maybe they got two or three good years instead of two or three sickly months. So it helps. It never hurts.
Right. That's so good. You're listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA, and we're talking to Dr. Quillen. And Dr. Quillen, I mean, there's so much information. It's like amazing. And so we want to let people know that this information is going to be on Sue Free's, one word, spelt like fries, .com. So you can go on there. You can get all this information. So that you can get his books, you know what he's written and all those good things. I want to mention something on when I watch TV and I see a commercial, and let's say they're talking about a runny nose or something, and I start listening to all of the things that they say that this could cause. The side effects could be you need to get your liver checked, or this could cause heart damage, and you've got a runny nose. I'm like, I kind of just say, wow, I'd rather have my runny nose than deal with all of that.
Okay.
But they're trying to sell these drugs for these things. And I remember in 1994 when I first met you, you sang a song that you wrote. And you took your guitar up to the stage, you sat on a chair, and you're very tall, how would you describe you? Tall,
well,
lanky guy.
6'3", 175 pounds,
yeah.
I stay in good shape. So
yes,
tall,
you do.
And, tall and lean.
Yes, and with a wonderful voice.
Thank you.
And you got up there, and you just started singing this song. And I was wondering, I'm putting you on the spot, but do you by any chance have that song?
Well, I have it on my CD, and I could play it myself, but I think it would sound rather shallow because most people are used to these Hollywood productions. So let me cue up the CD and see if we can put it on. And as you said, the reason I wrote this song is that too often people will... Here's the real quick introduction. What happens if every morning I come to work and I slam my thumb in the desk drawer? Boy, that hurt.
Yes.
And Tuesday I do the same thing. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday I slam my thumb in the desk drawer. And by the time Saturday comes around, my thumb is red and blue and swollen and bloody and painful. And so I go to Dr. A, who says, you know, I think we're going to give you pain medication so you can better tolerate it. And Dr. B says, I think we're going to have to give you anti-inflammatories, corticosteroids, to reduce the swelling. And Dr. C says, you know, your thumb looks defective. I think we should cut it off. And the real answer to everyone who's listening is, stop slamming your thumb in the desk drawer. That's ridiculous. That's exactly what most Americans do most of the time, which generates their problems. And so the theme of my song, The Pharmacy Blues, is deal with the underlying cause, because medications generally mask the symptoms. They never deal with the underlying cause. And so you can get a better outcome without all those side effects if we use a little common sense in my nutrition. So let's cue it up and listen to The Pharmacy Blues.
Okay, let's do that.
I have found some people who have unhealthy lifestyle habits, and they use prescription pills to subdue their symptoms. This song is dedicated to those people. I got new suggestions. I need a dozen pies. Smoke a dozen cigarettes. Then I got bloodshot eyes. Drank a dozen cups of coffee, got the feeling to shake. Saw a dozen hours of TV, that's all I could take, but I can't see.
Dr. Quillen, can you hear me? I'm not being able to hear it very well. I think what we need to do then is, if there's any way I can get that on the SueFreeze.com thing so people can listen to it later.
We'll do that.
I'm disappointed because the song is so great and I just love it.
Okay.
Just give me one thing of the words so that people know kind of what it's saying.
Yes, the lyrics. I got indigestion, tried to eat a dozen pies, smoked a dozen cigarettes, then I got bloodshot eyes, drank a dozen cups of coffee, got to feeling the shakes. Saw a dozen hours of TV. That's all I could take. But I got some pills here. They're going to fix me up just fine. Little red, white, and blue ones going to get me back in line. And I can give you the other verses, but it all follows the same theme of drugs can medicate symptoms, but they don't change the underlying cause of the problem. You know, for instance, I'm seeing commercials on TV now for people who have frequency of urination and incontinence and urgency. And so they give you a drug that basically dehydrates your body, and they'll tell you among the side effects, you're probably going to need lozenges because your mouth will get dry. You'll need eye drops because your eyes are going to get dry. Your whole body is going to dry up, but you may not wet your pants. Well, in many of those cases, those people have a food allergy, and one of the symptoms of food allergy can be frequency and urgency of urination. If you can find out the food allergy, you don't get the frequency anymore.
So let's not put a Band-Aid on it.
Right.
You know, you have a problem. Let's look to see what's causing the problem, not just put a Band-Aid on it by taking a pill.
Exactly. I think another fair comparison is if you had a red light flashing on the dashboard of your car and you just put tape over it, well, now you can't see the red light anymore. Problem is still there.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, so are there a few simple things that people can do to lower their risk for cancer? Eating the foods, was that the things you were listing as far as?
We were listing those things.
We got to seven, which is yogurt and seaweed.
Right, that's true. And there are many other simple procedures and foods. Let me offer a suggestion for how I would like to see people eat.
Okay.
There is no shortage of theories and everything from vegetarian, veganism, raw food, fruitarians, the blood type diet, the Mediterranean diet, the zone diet, and on it goes. And I've read them all, and I have found, based upon my training and my work with patients, here's what works the best. Think of your plate as a clock. I want you to take a plate and cut it up into one-third portions. So from 12 o'clock down to 4 o'clock is the first third of your plate. And I want you to cover that with lean and clean protein foods. And that could be things like chicken, fish, seaweed, yogurt, eggs, cottage cheese. If you have lean grass-fed beef, that's wonderful. These are all lean and clean. And you say, well, I'm a vegetarian. Okay, well, beans fall into the category of beans
proteins,
and nuts are
yeah.
decent sources of protein.
Mm-hmm.
The next 1/3 of your diet should be from 4 o'clock on the way to 7 o'clock. That's the next 1/3, and it should be, that's your plate. I'd like to cover the next 1/3 of the plate with a cooked, wholesome plant food, and that means steamed vegetables, lightly roasted nuts, things like bread, pressure-cooked or boiled rice, pastas, so plant food that has been lightly cooked. And the last 1/3 of your plate, which is from 7 o'clock back to 12 o'clock, would be covered with fresh, wholesome, colorful fruits and vegetables. So that's things like carrots, blueberries, tomatoes, spinach, kale, broccoli, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, etc. So fresh, raw, wholesome, colorful fruits and vegetables. If you can follow that program, 95% of our listeners are going to make a dramatic improvement in their health, sense of well-being, physical and mental. And you say, well, what are the side effects of this? I'll tell you what they are. You'll lose weight back to where you feel better. You'll have more mental clarity than you did in high school. You'll find that you get fewer colds, milder colds. You'll find that your gut works better, that you're more efficient at work, maybe get a promotion and a raise. And so the side effects are nothing but benefits from this program. What's there to lose?
Wait.
Exactly. And there's another story. 2/3 of Americans are overweight. Half of them, or 1/3 of American, are medically obese, and there is a significant risk involved in that. There's elevated risk for a number of cancers, including colon cancer if you're obese, and along with diabetes, heart disease, stroke, Alzheimer's, and other conditions. So Americans need to get that under control, and it's amazing how you don't need to go on some gadget gimmick diet. If you follow this program I'm talking about, not only do you lower your risk for getting cancer, but you're going to get your weight back to something that's reasonably healthy. There's many other things to talk about on the subject of nutrition and cancer, and I'm trying to think of what is most important. Let's talk about sugar. Sugar feeds cancer is a soundbite. And in fact, there's many scientific studies to show that elevated blood and gut glucose dramatically change the way the body works. It's called glucotoxicity. What happens is when we elevate blood glucose, it changes a group of things called prostaglandins toward an unfavorable direction. Simply by lowering the amount of sugar in our diet, sugar in our gut, sugar in our blood, we can make some dramatic changes that you cannot make with any drug. It's called dietary endocrinology. That is, using the diet to help stabilize hormones like insulin and glucagon, which lower your risk for cancer and many other problems.
Should we just stay away from sugar altogether? Because I get sugar even if I don't want to, because it's in foods. So
yes.
Should I just stay away from sugar? Like I know I'm not supposed to have sweet and low and those things too, because they're, you know, I know that's not good for me too. I don't drink sodas. My kids drink sodas, and I always tell them, don't drink sodas, because I think sodas are so harmful for you. But well, sugar, should I just, like, I got a box of jelly beans for, somebody gave me jelly beans and they're in my office, and I'm just piecing away on these stupid jelly beans, and they're just pure sugar.
Yeah, you're right. This is where I strongly recommend people use some common sense. Now, if you're diabetic or if you're markedly obese, it's time to get rigid about avoiding any and all sugar. However, for most Americans, the typical American gets about 20% of their calories from refined sugars, and much of that is in the form of corn syrup. A lot of that is in the form of soft drinks, which are really harmful for the body. The phosphoric acid, the high fructose corn syrup. There has been a dramatic rise in the incidence of obesity and diabetes that has come right along with, or is chronologically commensurate with, the introduction of high fructose corn syrup. So stay away from those things. But most people can tolerate some sugar. In other words, ketchup. You want to put a little bit of ketchup on your fresh eggs or your fish or your anything to make it taste better, go ahead. It's got a little bit of sugar in it. It's not going to destroy the nutrient value. You've made some oatmeal for breakfast. You're going to put some honey on it. Do it. Enjoy it. So the sugar should be a condiment, meaning something that adds flavor to it. It should not be a staple, which is what's happening in Americans. Sugar now constitute a main portion of the diet because we're eating it in such huge quantities. Spices and seasonings to beat cancer. There's so many things I wanted to talk about, Sue, and I know our time is growing thin.
I think we have 3 minutes.
Okay. There's so many guidelines I'd like to recommend, but let me just say there's people out there who are going through cancer treatment, and they're saying, why should I use nutrition as part of my cancer therapy? Number one, to prevent or reverse malnutrition, which kills 40% or more of cancer patients. Number two, to reduce the risks of complications of medical therapy. Nutrition can lower the complications of chemo and radiation so that it does more good than harm. Number three, to bolster the immune system, because the reason you got cancer is because your immune system is not doing its job, and proper nutrition can resurrect a failing immune system. Number four, you want to avoid this business of sugar feeds cancer. By lowering gut and blood glucose, you can improve all sorts of systems in the body. And number five, nutrients work like biological response modifiers. They can have the ability to change the way the body works dramatically. Let me give you a very quick patient profile, patient I worked with. A woman in her 70s, breast cancer, stage 4, metastasis to the bone. She had failed therapy at a previous hospital. She came to our hospital. She had a daughter who was going to be the co-patient and helping her tremendously as a coach and an encourager and a cheerleader. She got with our therapies, which included chemo, radiation. She got with our nutrition therapy with psychoneuroimmunology to try and relieve underlying stress. She didn't die 3 months later, which is what her doctor had predicted from the last hospital. She actually went into complete remission, and the last I saw her, she was looking better than most of the doctors who had treated her before.
That's a great story.
Many stories like that where nutrition changes the odds. It improves your ability to survive some of the most lethal diseases like cancer.
That's a great story. Great. So I'm sure you have a lot of those. Well, we have like 1 minute left. So why don't we just give some information so that people can find you, even if they can go on Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com, or
they can go to nutritioncancer.com. That's one of my websites, nutritioncancer.com, and you'll get a lot of free information there that's extracted from my books. You can go to patrickquillen.com. That's my name, patrickquillin.com, and get more information. You can go to gettinghealthier.com, which is my main website, gettinghealthier.com, and you'll find a lot more information about this. You can go to amazon.com, the world's largest bookstore, and find most of my books. And I'm hoping that people will tag into suefree.com. or the KKLA.com and be able to pick up on this show. There is an audio CD in the back of my book for people who are too sick or too tired to read. There's just so much information you can get for free, and then if you decide, you know, I'm willing to spend some money and get a book, it's $17 on Amazon. I mean, you can't get a meal for that, and it might save your life. So I'm hoping people will take the information that we've shared for the past hour and empower themselves to improve their lives and restore their God-given ability for good health.
Thank you so much. Till next week, God bless.
It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.